I want to read scriptures to you. I will read them as God has laid them on my heart and expect to make some comment on them. My first is in Ezekiel 16. One of the most moving and touching parabolic prophecies in the whole of the scripture. I want only this morning really to know the heart of God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. I want you just to know this, that God says, I want Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now, he could have looked at Nineveh, he could have looked at Samaria, he could have looked at Jericho, he could have looked at Rome, he could have looked to Athens, he could have looked anywhere in the world and said, now look on these, O Jerusalem, aren't they wicked, all these people? He said, I want you to know your own abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion on thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast polluted in thy, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I truly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skins. I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I have put upon thee, saith the Lord. I won't read any more. Then comes the reason why the Lord spoke about their abominations, after he had done all these marvelous things for them. I want to turn, simply because this is the way the Spirit laid them on my heart, to New Testament scriptures, and then come back again to the old in a moment. Luke chapter 10. You will know these scriptures very well. In the 10th chapter of Luke, probably, if not quite, then next to the greatest story in the whole of the Bible, or the greatest parable anyway. Verse 25, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? The word how is a most important word, probably, in the whole of this parable. You may not think so, but it is. It could have been what, but it's how. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Chapter 50. 11. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he went, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and as the Greek is, kept on kissing him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and wouldn't go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Romans chapter 12. Lovely stories. What is written in the scripture? How did you read those scriptures? How did you read those scriptures? I read them totally inadequately to convey what I saw in them and see in them. How do you read the scriptures? This is what I read in those scriptures. Romans 12. Verse 9, first sentence only, let love be without dissimulation. 1 Peter 4, verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. You will not need me to tell you that that developed from the prophecy that was given. And lastly, in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 4. Verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That's how I read those scriptures this morning. Glory be to God. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Did you read them like that? Did you? You realize you always outread the scriptures through your own heart and state, don't you? You cannot read them any other way. They're always interpreted by spirit, yours or the Holy Ghost. Always. Always. Without exception. What a tremendous thing. Jesus said, the first thing he said about his own words, the words that I speak to are spirit. And truth, of course. But yours could be spirit and error. According to whether you're full of Holy Spirit. And this then, beloved, is not just an objective thing, it's subjective. the writer of the Song of Solomon was speaking completely subjectively. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. None at all. And this is why, beloved, we have to let our love be without dissimulation. You see, that word dissimulation is hypocrisy. And if your love is with hypocrisy and dissimulation, you will find that it won't be long before you see dissimulation and hypocrisy in others. You will say, it's all very well for them to pray like that, prophesy like that, preach like that, but they want to put their lives right. What you'll say, and you'll think you're right, but you're a hypocrite and a humbug. You're dissimulating. You're only seeing through your own heart. Understand that. Get it right deep, deep down inside you. Oh, glory be to God. It's because you set a standard other than the true standard of the Spirit of God. The standard is not the Bible in the end. The standard is the Spirit, God Himself. And once you see this, beloved, that the Bible is, it becomes a different book. Your reading becomes utterly different. All things that are wrong, you will see first in yourself, if they're there. If not, you'll see them in other people. I can only speak to you out of experience over the years. I can only speak out to you what I know. One of the most wonderful verses in the Bible is the scripture which says, and I could have read it, but the Lord didn't lay it on my heart as He laid these others for me to read to you, but it's come as I'm speaking. Love covereth the multitude of iniquities. Think of that marvelous story that I read to you. It's a parabolic prophecy, of course, where God, wanting to reveal truth to Jerusalem, starts to tell this marvelous story through the lips of the prophet. Oh, how glorious it is. He says, your mother was this, your father was this. You were lying there, your navel wasn't cut. You were lying in your blood, and I passed by you. And it was a time of love. No eye pitied thee. Nobody really saw anything. Everybody striving for themselves, trying to better themselves, trying to perfect themselves, so they think, not knowing that compassion is the art of perfecting others first, without hypocrisy. And perfecting others at the expense of your own life and blood. Perfecting others to see so long as you don't count anymore, and only them. Compassion. That's what compassion is. You see, nobody else, they were at Samaria trying to perfect themselves. Somebody else trying to perfect themselves. Have a better city, fugitive terms of cities if you like. Better streets. Golden streets if possible. The matter about Jerusalem. See? This curse of self-perfecting at the expense of others means in the end talking the other person down. In the end, you've got to make comparisons and contrasts. You cannot do it any other way. Down goes someone else. They're wrong. Not me. I'm right. Look at this scripture. How do you read the scriptures wrongly? You see, beloved, the whole story of the Bible is not God's exposure of man, but of Himself. That's the revelation of God. That men do get exposed isn't quite the point. There was a man exposed. His name was Jesus. I see him more and more wonderfully as the days go by. Some time ago, I believe I told you this, I bought my wife a Bible and I wrote in the front, "They saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves." See? Somebody else produced a Bible the other day. They wanted me to write in it. I didn't write that. But I wrote something similar, like along these lines, that get to know the God of this book. Get to know the love of God. And I wrote in it, "Let love be without dissimulation." The hypocrisy of loving, if you're not careful, your loving is that you will be a busybody in other men's matters, trying to put them right because you love them. You're a humbug. You've never got past loving yourself yet. The whole truth about it, beloved, is that God deals with a man, he deals with a woman until they come to the place of the most excellent love. And they look at the other and they say, "You're all fair, my love. I can't see any spot in thee at all." When you've got there, you're there. I want to tell you this, that the passage of time molded and bent to God's purposes in dealing with you is for this very reason, that you should get to the place where you can say, "Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee." Glory be to God. Glory be to God. When you look at people, are you sure you haven't got thousands of spots before your own eyes and it's not in them at all? Are you very sure? The whole truth about it, beloved, is wrapped up in these two parables that I see anyway. I told you that the first parable was perhaps the greatest, if not quite the greatest, and then I read what probably is the greatest parable, both in Luke's Gospel. The one called the Good Samaritan, and the other one the Prodigal Son. And the thing that God laid on my heart concerning them as I was moving up to this point in the meeting was this. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, there's no revelation of this. Jesus said he shouldn't have gone. He was a sinful man. He was doing this. Going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, nothing of that. I just walked up to him. Religion, priesthood, Levitical things, they all say he shouldn't have been doing it, shouldn't have been doing it, shouldn't have been doing it, done this, drill, that's what they say. Samaritan comes. Nothing. Pours in oil. pause in while. Binds him up, picks him up, takes him to the inn, commits himself for life to him. Tuppence, I'll come again. Commits himself for life, takes on total responsibility. If the man's not healed and well now, it'll be my fault and my fault alone. I'll pay to the end. That's Jesus. Do you think you're anything like him? Anything at all? I'm not being critical. I want you to ask the question I asked myself. Take the next story. This is how I read the Bible. I'm only telling you how I read it. I take the next story. The prodigal son. He's in the far country. He does everything. You know the story. The older son's got it all right, I suppose, by every human standard. Wasted his substance, he's consumed your living, he's done this, he's done that, he's done the other. How many older brothers do you know? Any about this establishment? Criticisms about this and criticisms about that, and criticisms about they've done this and done that, or any other church for that matter? Father could see wrong with him. Everything he could see so wrong with the things he lacked. He said, "Oh, give him the best robe. Give him a ring. Put shoes on his poor feet. He's come back. Worn himself out to come back." When at last he'd reached the lowest point, come back. Kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. Do you know what it is to be a lover? Do you know? Do you know how many of you kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed until they can do nothing but receive or reject your love? There's no argument there. How many do you know? How often have you done it? How do you read the Bible? The children of Israel always see God's acts. But Moses knows his ways. And you can criticize all the acts. He's wasted your life. He's done this. He's done that. He's done the other. He's done the other. But when the son came back, he came back to Father's ways. Father ran and fell on his neck and he kissed. You see, some of you aren't even neighbourly, leave alone brotherly. Who was neighbour to him that fell among thieves? And elder brothers criticise. And some Samaritan neighbour will turn up and shame us all to the very foundations. And God quickly send him, please. You see, beloved, there is a place of heart God grant that I may speedily reach there if I haven't, which says, Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. You waiting for the other one to make themselves spotless, are you? That's not what the story reveals. It's because you're spotless in your own heart. Love, pure love, wonderful love, has done it. Done it. Didn't you know that love was the process to bring you unto perfection? This kind of perfection? Not demanding that the other one be it, but giving yourself until love surmounts, rises above all things. Giving yourself until there's no hypocrisy and dissimulation in your approach. Nothing. You're not using it to be a busybody in somebody else's matters. But it's something to get involved in someone else's needs. Get down off your high horse. Come down. He looked at him and he had compassion on him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He had compassion on him. If we had compassion, we'd understand that that brother or that sister is really wanting to be all that God wants them to be. Do you want? If you had compassion, you'd understand that they weren't struggling to do the wrong thing and be awkward. They can't see the things that you may think you see. But if you really ask them what they saw in you, you might be shocked. Have you ever seen love looking out of another person's eyes? Have you? Have you ever seen wrath and hatred? Murder? Have you? Have you ever seen it? Oh, beloved. To really be compassionate, to move beyond all restrictions and restraints and break through all impossibilities. This is the art of it. How do you read the Bible? Do you want to be an expositor? Do you want to spend an hour blowing up the parable of the Samaritan for a nice sermon? What do you want to do? Do you want to be able to see right down there? Glory to God. Amen. When you're there, beloved, everything else comes right. Everything. Everyone.
So, well, they don't.
Yes, they do. Then you realize how horrible you've made them before. You make me to yourself a person of some sort or another. When a man or a woman loves, they have the supreme power. they can do anything. So may the Lord move us on this line. Because true love never stops another person hurting them, never stops another people abusing that person, never stops them murdering them, never stops them misusing them, never does it. But what true love does is sees them despite all, or even because of it all, as though that blessed one that's all lovely. Glory be to God. That's the divine paradox. You say, well, that's superhuman, lovely. Well, what have you been born again for? Did you want to be merely human? Grubbing about in the swine trough after all? Or did you really want to feast on Jesus? Did you want to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Here then lies the paradox. I go and look upon what that which is most ugly and horrible, distorted, twisted, awful. He was called Jesus. He hung on a cross. And I see the most lovely and the most glorious and the most divine. This then is how they are joined. How could these two extremes be married? Only by a Jesus. Only in a life like that. That's the only way it can be done. And that's what you have to do. And that's who you have to be. Let all I am in thee be lost. Let all I am be God. That's what you said. And I looked around, as I have the privilege of doing, seeing everybody. And I believe everybody was really saying it, singing it from their heart's depths. Believe it. Let all I am be God. It isn't a nice thought, merely. It's that which the heart desires. Love one another. Believe in one another. Believe in one another. Will you? Believe in one another. Glory be to God. That it should be easy one of these days. God grant it should be today. That not just on some upsurge of emotion, or because God has revealed something that's put the finger on the spot, but because it's true, you'll be able to say, thou art all fair, my love. No spot in thee. Amen. Let's pray, shall we?